and we burn down off of God's power and we no longer operate in God's power, guess what? We're going to start to stink. When we start to operate in our own power in our marriages, guess what? We're going to be mighty stinky. When we start to operate in our own power in relationships with our coworkers, guess what? We're going to start to stink. When we start to operate in our own power in doing ministry for God, guess what? We're going to start to stink. So somewhere along the way that we got to realize that we've lost the power, because if we don't realize it, we're going to start to smell. And that's why saints end up in situations that they end up in, because they've lost the power and they continue to do it in their own strength. There's a lot of preachers standing in the pulpit preaching.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part two of Return to Power. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of Return to Power.
2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. You know, you turn 51. Y'all pray for me. I got glasses that I need to be wearing. So y'all pray for me. I did. Saints been on me. I did pick them up. I did get them from the store. I mean, from the eye doctor. So now I just got to make that other transition. All right. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take there every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, take it up unto thee, and he put out his hand, and he took it. And we started last week talking about this whole idea of the loss of power, that here was these young prophets, and the place where they were living had gotten kind of tight. The quarters were cramped, and they needed to enlarge their dwelling place. And so they went down by the Jordan River, and they began to cut down wood so they could build a bigger, as I would call it, a bigger seminary. And as they were down there chopping down trees, one of the gentlemen lost his axe head, and it went into the water, and he lost his power. He lost his power, and when he lost his power, he could no longer do the things that he was doing before. And so, you know, we dealt with this whole idea of the return to power, that God has given us power. And last week, we spoke very extensively about this whole idea that God has given us power. And we looked at Ephesians and talked about the different types of power that God has given us. And with Resurrection Sunday coming up next week, the most important thing that we can say about the power that God has given us as Christians, as believers, is that it was the same power that it took to raise Christ from the dead. And when you think about that, you know, that's a lot of power. So we need to be tapping into this power that God has given us. So we're going to speak to you and conclude the message this morning on a return to power. We're talking about this power that we have, that God has given to us to do his work. Now, Bethany is a living testimony just in the last year of the fact that where God guides, he supplies. That if God calls you to do something, he's going to give you what you need to do it. And that is no different in the life of the believer. That if God has called you to do something, God will equip you to do it. You know, I've told my testimony here time and time again that I hated public speaking. I didn't want to speak. You know, I took class in college where I had to speak, and I did everything I could to try to look at the syllabus for the class and other classes to see if there was any speaking involved, because I didn't want to do it. And then when God called me to preach, he gave me the power to be able to do it. So God has given us power. God has given you power to live a victorious Christian life. Now, last week we talked about this whole idea. First of all, you got to realize that you have power. All right? You got to realize that you have it. And we talked about the four words that were used there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 20, where he says power, the ability to perform the task that God has given you. Whatever God has called you to do, he's given you the power to be able to do it. We talked about the word power, which meant working, the energy, that he not only gives you the power to do it, he gives you the energy to do it. He gives you the excitability to do it. We talked about this mighty power, this overcoming power, that we don't have to be under the circumstances, that we can be over the circumstances because we have this power. And then we talked about this enabling power that God has given to us. And then we talked about, just like this young prophet here, that when he realized he lost his power, when he was chopping down a tree, he had the axe, and he was chopping down a tree, he had to realize that he lost his power. And we left off there. You've got to realize and recognize when the power has been lost. You've got to realize that the power of God, if you're not functioning in the power of God right now, and you continue to do stuff, you got to realize that you're doing it in your own strength. And it's just like that candle, when the old candles, when the oil burned up in the candle, in the lamp, and it started burning on the wick, it started to stink. And we burn down off of God's power, and we no longer operate in God's power. Guess what? We're going to start to stink. When we start to operate in our own power in our marriages, guess what? We're going to be mighty stinky. When we start to operate in our own power in relationships with our coworkers, guess what? We're going to start to stink. When we start to operate in our own power in doing ministry for God, guess what? We're going to start to stink. So somewhere along the way, that we got to realize that we've lost the power, because if we don't realize it, we're going to start to smell. And that's why saints end up in situations that they end up in, because they've lost the power and they continue to do it in their own strength. There's a lot of preachers standing in the pulpit preaching, and God is nowhere around. And there are a lot of Christians that are ministering for Christ, and Christ is nowhere around. And just like this man right here said, he said, Master, he said, the power is gone. He said, the axe head went into the water. I've lost the power. And we need to realize when we lose the power. It's a scary thing to lose the power. Look at Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. It's a scary thing to lose the power of God on your life. Samson was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And as he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, he was killing donkeys. He was tying foxes' tails together, thousands of foxes' tails together, and lighting them on fire and sending them out in the brushes. He was able to lift up a city gate and run with it up a hill for miles when he had the power of God on his life. And then he ran into Delilah. And as somebody said, he had a haircut in the devil's barbershop. And as he... You know, to make a long story short, as he lost his power, it says in Judges chapter 16 and verse 20 that he was getting ready to get up and attack the Philistines like he did at other times. And she said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go out as at other times before, and I will shake myself. And he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. My. He knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Up here, singing for God. Singing for God. And God departed from you. Up here, preaching for God. and God departed from you. Ushering for God, and God departed from you. Trusting for God, and God departed from you. Deaconing for God, and God departed from you. Whatever it is you're doing, and you got to look and ask, is God with me? Samson was going to get up like other times. But he didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. That leads us to the next point, and that is that not only do you have to realize that you have the power, not only do you have to recognize when the power has been lost, but thirdly, you got to remember that the power is borrowed. It's not your power anyways. It's not you. It's not of you. It's not your power. Look at verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, as one was chopping down a tree, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and he said, "Alas, master," for it was borrowed. The power of God that's on us is of God. See, and the problem becomes sometimes is that we think it's us. You know, it's just like the ant and the elephant. I told you that story before. They were walking across a bridge, and as they walked across the bridge was shaking and the bridge was moving back and forth, and the bridge almost fell in. And when they got to the other side, the ant on the back of the elephant turned to the elephant and said, "Man, we sure did shake that bridge." No. It's not us. The power is not of us. The power is of God. God has only loaned us the power to do his work. Oh, let me show you a concept that's going to blow your mind. Let me show you something that's going to blow, because it blows my mind. Two scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Oh, this is good. This is good, saints. This is good. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. All right. It says here, "But you shall receive power." All right. That's the word dunamis, where we get our Greek word dynamite. "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." God said that you shall receive power. Mighty power. Power to blow up sin. Power to knock folk to their knees when you witness to them. Power to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and it penetrate the heart. God has given us power. Dunamis power. But let me show you something here. Let me show you something. See, when you got dynamite, you can't let a child deal with dynamite. You can't let a child walk around with a stick of dynamite in their hand. That'd be blowing everything up, including themselves. You got to have a licensed, bona fide individual to handle the dynamite. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. He says here in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." And then we know the rest of it. But look, he said, "All power is given to me." And then what did he do? He gave it to them. He gave them the commission. Now, the Greek word here, the Greek word in Acts 1:8 was dunamis, dynamite power. The Greek word here in verse 18, where he said, "All power is given to me," is the Greek word exousia. And you know what that means? The authority. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives the disciples the authority to use the power in Acts 1:8. He just didn't want any bozo out here dealing with the power. And so he endued his children. He gave them the authority to go forth and use the power. So you not only have the power, but you also have the authority to use the power. And each and every day that we get up, we need to pray and we need to ask God to help us, because we need to realize the power is not of us, but the power is of God. There was a man who went out into the jungle and he cut off a lion's tail, and he came back in to the city and he was waving his lion tail around. He said, "Look, I cut off a lion's tail," as he was waving it around. And somebody said, "If you're so bad, how come you didn't cut off his head?" And he said, "Well, somebody else already did that." See, no matter how powerful we think we are, God cuts off the head. The only thing we can do is take the tail and wave it around. That's all we can do, because the power is of God. It's God's power. A basketball in the hand of Michael Jordan is worth $32 million. A basketball in my hand is worth about 10 bucks. A baseball in the hand of Barry Bonds or Sammy Sosa is worth millions of dollars. In my hands, it's worth about $6. A tennis racket in the hands of the Williams sisters is a Wimbledon championship. In my hands, it's worth nothing. A song in the mouth of Kurt Franklin is worth a Dove Award or a Grammy. A song in my mouth. A life in the hand of God is powerful, is usable, is God-centered and directed. A life in my hand is just wasted. That's why the songwriter said, "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life." You know what, man? There's some folks sitting here this morning. You're making a mess out of your life. And the reason that you're making a mess out of your life is because you got your hand all on it. I'm a self-made man. Well, see, that's the problem. You self-made. You're not God-made. God wants to take your life. God wants to shape your life. God wants to mold your life. And God can do great things with your life. Man, I just think that if I could have done with my life what I wanted to do, I'd be a mess right now. I know I'd be a mess. Man, thank God that somewhere when I was around 20, 21 years of age, something came in my mind to say, "Look, you can't do this yourself." I was miserable. I was wretched. I was wicked, and I was headed to hell. And God came in. God put his touch on my life. And when he put his touch on my life, he made something beautiful out of it. And see, sometimes I even go mess up God's creation because I try to put my hand on what God has already done. Man, I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Man, you could be a lot further down the road. I see a lot of young people that's just wasting their life, just spinning their wheels, not going anywhere at all. And I just sit back and look and I say, man, if you just yield your life to God, if you would just let him touch your life, man, it would be so much more wonderful. Why is it that folks shortchange themselves? Why do we shortchange ourselves? Why do we do less? Why do we underachieve? Why do we not do all that we can do? And why come we're not all that we can be? Sister Jane sang about it this morning. Is your all on the altar? You know, and as I look at, you know, the song that was sung, and as I was sitting there, I was coming under conviction because I could think of some things in my life that weren't on the altar. And you know, they're little things, and but they're things that I know need to be on the altar. But I, you know, one thing I can say is that by the grace of God, I have laid my life on the altar, and that I want to be in his will, and I want to go where he wants me to go, and I want to be directed where he wants me to be directed. And I know that at least that much, as many things I may struggle with, I know that I've laid my life on the altar. you know, for God to use it. And I want to challenge you today. Man, don't shortchange yourself. You know, I go back to it and say it again. Growing up in North Braddock, you know, not having any vision at all, thinking that I was going to have a life of standing out. My job for the rest of my life was going to be standing on the corner holding up light poles. That's all the vision that I had. And somehow, first year of college, I flunked out. First year, I flunked out of college. Somewhere along the line, God got a hold of my life. God got a hold of my life. And I got back in college. And I say this to the glory of God. I'm not saying this to brag or boast, but I say this to the glory of God because I'm just, as somebody said earlier today, just an ordinary person. I'm just an ordinary person. Man, I don't, you know, I'm no Einstein. I'm no genius. I just know that God touched me. I just know he touched me. You know, it's like they asked the blind man, well, you know, who is this Jesus? You know, what did he do? Where did he come from? The blind man said, look, you know, all I know is this. Once I was blind. He said, you guys can get into all these theological debates and talk about all this. He said, let me tell you this. All I know is once I was blind and now I see. Graduated from college, 3.2. Seminary, 3.4. Got my doctorate degree, 4.0. I'm just an ordinary person. I'm just an ordinary person. But I, you know what? My wife prayed me through. I prayed through. When I graduated from seminary, me and my wife almost got a divorce because she typed my thesis. And you know, they didn't have computers back. Let's put it this way. I didn't have a computer. So, you know, when you type the hard copy and you find a mistake, you got to go back and type the whole page over again. But you know what? When I graduated, my wife was pregnant with Jonathan. And my wife, she had gone into labor. And she said, look, I'm going to see this Negro graduate. And my wife sat there in the audience that day and watched me walk across that stage. And that afternoon, that evening, she went and had a child. Now, what am I trying to say? It was prayer. It was the power of God that got us through that. I can't do it. I couldn't do it. It was God. And all I'm trying to tell you here today is that if you will just let God touch your life, if you will just let God empower, man, the sky is the limit. God can take you to places where you never thought that you would go. You know, I tell you what, I get invited to all kind of places. You know, people invite me, you know, big, high up people up to Mount Washington, you know, for this meeting, for that meeting, over here, over there. I told my wife, I said, look, I told you I was going to take you some places when you married me. I told you we was going to go places. God will take you to places that you never thought you could go. Man, it's amazing. I sit at the table with people I never thought I would sit at the table with. Somebody hear me this morning. Some young person hear me. Don't shortchange yourself today. Don't shortchange yourself. Man, God has something great in store for you. God wants to take you the extra mile. God wants to take you to places where you never thought you could go. But you've got to yield to his touch. Oh, let me close. I thought I was going to finish today, but this will be a resurrection message. This will be a resurrection message. I will finish it next week. Ordinary people. Just ordinary people. God uses and he chooses ordinary people. He chooses people just like me and you who are willing to do what he commands. Just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had. How the multitudes were fed with the fish and loaves of bread.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 2 of Return to Power. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Part 2 of Return to Power, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Part 2 of Return to Power. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part two of Return to Power, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.